Okay, just give me some at work.
No way.
Come on.
I'm not into it.
Give me some.
No, it's embarrassing.
There's nobody here. Nobody's going to see you. Come on.
I really just don't want to do
just
it.
Just give me some. Come on. You're really good at it.
Really?
Yes. Come on. Wait, you see the moves.
No.
Come on.
No.
Please.
Just chill here.
Yes! Look at my moves. Look at these.
Welcome everyone to the podcast. My name is John.
This is Mike.
We're going to talk about some things today, but first I'd like to tell you about the Just Chill Here webpage. The webpage is a variety webpage where we're going to talk about things or write articles about things where you can just read about different subjects. We have 10 specific categories that we also try to talk about in the podcast. In order on the webpage, we have video games, movies, books, projects, food, product reviews, music, news and politics, YouTube, and podcasts. If you want to know what each of these categories are, you can find descriptions for them on the webpage. All you have to do is visit, click on the categories, go down to the bottom or to the very first post in each category, and you'll find a description for each thing. No, I'm not going to go over each category in length, but I will say that it's pretty common sense. When we start talking, you'll get a better idea of what it's about. Now, the podcast. This has been a long goal for me and my partner, and we just wanted to try to start this little podcasting gig, and we figured we'd give it a... How many times am I going to say give it a shot, Mike?
I don't know, man.
Anyway.
Give it a shot. You've already insulted the listeners.
I guess I have. I do that from time to time. You're probably going to hear a lot of ohms, a lot of you knows, a lot of likes, a lot of uhs. We're going to actively try to keep those down, but I can't make any promises. Mike, can you make any promises?
Yeah, honestly, I'm just hoping we don't echo, because, you know, you're loud.
Yeah. Well, Mike, can you talk? You're not very loud.
It's the first time recording, folks. We'll work out the bugs. Hopefully for the second podcast, everything will sound.
If you're familiar with the podcasting world, you know that the first episodes always are kind of rough, but we're gonna make it good. When we start talking, it'll be a fun podcast.
How about we go ahead and tell them about the structure, how we're gonna structure our podcast, right quick, and then we can get into our subjects for the day.
So the structure of the podcast is not so basic, but just to give you an idea, we're gonna try to hit each category that the website goes over, and each category is going to have an allotted amount of time. Now, the time isn't exact. We may have 15 to 20 minutes for one category, 5 minutes for another category. We may skip a category entirely because we just couldn't think of anything to talk about at the time. And that's good because we don't want to talk about anything we don't know what to talk about. We already have things figured out for certain topics. Sometimes the categories will be combined, so we'll just kill 2 birds with 1 stone. And that will allow us to talk more about things that we know a little bit more about. And I've always believed that if you're not interested in what you're talking about, it's not going to be interesting. Right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we'll find a topic that'll probably take up more time than others on from week to week.
As we progress in our podcasting, we will have more topic-specific podcasts, maybe more than one per week, but right now we're just shooting for one per week. Expect the recording to take place over the weekend, and Tuesday should be the date of publishing for each episode, because I'll have to do a little bit of editing, cut out some weird sounds. If we have a moment of dead air, or we've made some kind of recording error, we'll have to put things together. But with all that being said, we certainly hope you enjoy what you're about to listen to. If you like it, leave a comment at the bottom of the article that this podcast is attached to. And we'd like your feedback. I mean, we really want to know what you think would make the podcast better. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask us. Mike, we play a game a lot. It's called Diablo 3. And when Diablo 3 first came out, you have to admit, it wasn't very fun, right?
Oh, it was fun, but it definitely needed some work. They had some stumble stones they had to get through to make it the game that we wanted it to be.
Yeah, I specifically remember playing it, and I had about 65 hours in, and I had never really gotten a good legendary item, a good upgraded item. And you had upgraded items, but you didn't get them. You actually bought them from the auction house, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just made it a point to try to make as much gold as possible. And using that, I would buy the items. I didn't get my first really good legendary until, at least a year in.
Yeah, it's crazy. They had this auction house idea, which, hell, I thought it would have worked. And we participated in it, and we sold things on the auction house, and people were making real money on it. But I think the problem was their drop rates, for those of you who aren't inclined to know what video games are, we're talking about a game where you're, let's just say you're killing dragons and demons and stuff, and they drop better armor and swords and things. And when we talk about better gear, better loot, we're talking about more powerful weapons. And when the game first came out, to get a more powerful weapon, it would take you an extraordinary amount of time for a good item to drop, a better weapon, an upgrade. And you could go to the auction house and just buy something. But it made drops exceedingly difficult.
Yeah, and we should also mention that not only was it a low rate chance of getting a good item to drop, but also they didn't really have any system in place to make sure that it was good for you. Most of the time you'd get a legendary item to drop and it wasn't even for your character. It was statted out for a completely different class, and so your only thing you really do with it was sell it on the auction house.
So in other words, if you were a wizard, a great legendary could drop for a barbarian. Well, you don't have a barbarian, so what good is it going to do? Well, this all came to a head not too long ago. Blizzard had made changes throughout the game's run, but none of the changes were very hard. They made the announcement that the auction house was coming to a close, and with that news, they had to make a system where the drop rates would increase, where we would get a better loot system. And we did. With patch 2.0, we got a much better system where more better gear would drop. So the best items you get are legendaries, and as I said, I played 60 hours when it first started, and I never really got one, whereas when this new 2.0 came out, I got a lot of upgrades, a lot of legendaries, in just a matter of hours, and it was very interesting, and it made the game a lot more fun. But also along with that, they made a lot of new gameplay mechanics. A bounty system. They made the rift system. And, you know, I won't really go into explanations as to what those are. Because we really want to go to the next level. Blizzard announced that their patch, what is it? Patch 2.1 is coming out in the near future, I hope. And they have some things that are kind of interesting. They're going to add some new gameplay mechanics. They're going to make some changes. For example, they're going to add seasons. They're going to add greater rifts. They're going to implement leaderboards. They're going to have some changes to combat. And they're going to add these little things called the cesspools.
Yeah, and one of the biggest things is they're adding more in-game content. Once you get to the maximum level, giving you a little bit more stuff to do. That was a big issue with the original release of the game, was you got to the end and all there was really to do was to just keep re-clearing the game over and over in hopes of items. And 2.0 gave us, like you said, bounties and rifts. And this is going to add seasons, so you have leaderboards that'll give us kind of a competition style. It also gives you the opportunity to start new characters and actually have a reason to start them. You're trying to climb the ladder during the season, and every season that character is going to reset.
And on these greater rifts, you know, we did a lot of rifts during this patch 2.0, and we had this community called Rift It Forward where we could pretty much... I'm going to go ahead and say it was an exploit. Blizzard said it was okay, but it still felt like an exploit. And I think the greater rifts may change that exploit around a little bit. But I kind of like the idea because it makes the game more meaningful. You get a little bit of extra things out of it. I think the biggest thing about greater rifts is not that it's a new challenge. For me, it's not that it's a new challenge and that it's just a new way to play. You also get these gems. Now, what were those gems called, Mike?
No, just legendary gems.
Yeah, just legendary gems. And the idea of legendary gems is that you can upgrade them infinitely, correct?
From what I understand, the gem themselves, they level up as you use them in your items.
Now, how hard it'll be to level up, we don't know because they haven't even implemented those into the PTR, right?
From what I know right now, they're not. The system they seem to have in place is successfully completing, or no, the higher you place in the greater rift, the more likely chance you have for your gems to be upgraded. I know we aren't going to really explain the rift system, but basically a greater rift is a timed event. And you clear it within the time, then it bumps up the difficulty, and you try to clear it again within the same time. The more clears you get each run before you are unable to complete that time, that's going to give you a better chance to upgrade your gems, which is interesting. An infinitely upgrading legendary gem that will have its basic stats plus a legendary stat, that's going to add a lot to, you know, gear itemization. It's going to be very interesting.
And stack that on top of the seemingly infinite points you get to put into from the Paragon levels. And it just makes your character bump up a little bit more. It's like they want us to be more powerful, but they only want to implement small increments at a time. And I agree with that. Do you think the greater rifts are going to be fun, or do you think they're going to be frustrating?
Well, I think it's going to be fun. I like anything that'll up the challenge, and it'll give you something to strive for. You know, if you're only clearing two greater rifts, you're only getting to the second level of it, and you slowly build up gear, and now you're getting to five clears or six clears. I think to me that adds to the gameplay. That gives me something to be shooting for, other than just trying to get the best gear possible.
I think the greater rifts could be fun. I just hope they don't make them too hard, because Blizzard is notorious for when they put new things up, They're just really damn hard. But then they tend to, like, pity the player and make them too easy.
Well, this seems to be a self-correcting system with the way they're describing the greater rifts. Because essentially, it should always start out the same difficulty. When you open a new rift and you clear it, and then it's going to have a progression, and that progression is based off of how fast you clear the rift. The faster you clear the rift, the more it ramps up the difficulty for the next one. But that's all in the same overall rift. Once you're done and you close that rift out, the next time you open a rift, it's going to start over at the base level again. So the difficulty is going to go up based off of your gear. It's going to get harder as your gear gets better. So I don't think it's going to be a system where right off the bat, the first time you open one, it's going to be brutally hard. It should be normal difficulty, a normal rift difficulty for whatever difficulty game setting you have it set to.
Okay. And then next you have, this is from Blizzard's website. Leaderboards will track progress for greater rifts, seasonal achievement points, and seasonal conquests across a variety of game styles. Designed to be informative and detailed, leaderboards will allow you to compare your progress to that of your gameplay region, friends, and clan members, and each type of board will track progress a little differently. Mike, I think leaderboards would be a cool thing, but I don't think it's going to change the gameplay much.
Well, I don't either, and this is something that Blizzard's always, with most of their games, that have any type of competitive edge to it. They've added some sort of leaderboard for prestige. I don't see myself particularly participating or trying to be on the top of it. I do like the idea of the conquest, which is like extra achievements. And there's a leaderboard for that, but I just like the fact that they're going to have little extra goals for us to go for. And if you happen to do them very quickly, then you'll land yourself on a leaderboard.
There's season-only leaderboards and Greater Rift leaderboards. And it looks like the Greater Rift leaderboards will be split between hardcore and normal gameplay modes, as well as seasonal and non-seasonal characters. It looks like there's going to be a lot of stuff going on with the leaderboards. It looks like everybody will have a pretty good chance to get onto a leaderboard in some manner.
Yeah, there'll even be class-specific leaderboards. Best Barbarian, Best Witch Doctor. I mean, they're going to have a lot of them, and it'll be interesting.
Do you think maybe they'll implement a clan thing where a clan may be able to get on a leaderboard as a group?
I mean, it'd be interesting if they did. They haven't mentioned anything about it so far. I don't know if they're really, I don't know if they're really focusing on that just yet. The whole clan system itself is very new, whereas the rest of this, with the exception of the seasons being new, the rest of this isn't new. They're just going to start tracking it. So the clan system being as new as it is, eventually maybe, but they haven't mentioned anything about it so far.
Okay. Combat changes. This was interesting. They're changing dexterity and survivability. Tell us about that.
Well, the main thing is the dexterity stat itself wasn't living up to their expectations as far as being a defensive stat. Dodging an attack, you had a chance to dodge an attack. If you didn't, you took the full damage. Whereas what they're wanting to do now is make dexterity increase your armor value. That way, you're mitigating on every attack. Your dexterity is being useful to you for every attack. And they think that overall, that's going to increase their survivability. And I kind of agree. I like it. I like the change. I don't play a dexterity character right now.
I know that
monks get beat up pretty bad in the end game, and their primary stat is dexterity. It'll be an interesting change.
I'm interested to see how it's going to affect my demon hunter, because I think I'd like more armor, but I sure do see that dodge pop up over my head a lot when I'm fighting. So I'd hate to see that go away, but if it just blocks overall more damage, then I'll take it.
Yeah, and they're going to, I would assume they're going to redo talents around it also, and passives.
They're changing healing as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the healing one is going to be interesting because to see where they go with it. They're going to reduce the amount of healing that you receive from health globes, which drop off of the enemies that you kill. And for me, that's, right now, that's my primary source of being healed. So they're going to reduce that, and they want to increase the amount of healing that is on items, which sounds good. My issue with that is that healing stat is the stat I normally re-roll into something more beneficial to the character as far as dealing damage and mobility. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if they can make up enough healing on gear to heal you to the amount of life that we have, because it's definitely an issue I've ran into, having too much health for my regen. And basically, health globes were the big void filler,
right?
Because you can't rely on a healing potions. The cooldown timers are just too long to try to rely on those. So it'll be interesting. I think that they're going to have to do something, though, to offset the fact that that's the most commonly rerolled stat.
All right. The last thing that we're going to talk about in this PTR, note that we didn't go over an item-by-item thing. We don't have the complete PTR in front of us, but we have the overview. The cesspools. Mike, do you know much about the cesspools?
Basically, this is just new level designs for when you enter rifts. Currently, rifts use layouts of available maps that are already in the game. And some of the ones that they've excluded so far is sewers, which is one of the cesspool maps that they describe. And also they're going to be adding just new layouts that are darker and in that sewer style setting.
Okay. So the cesspools are just new levels, not necessarily new gameplay?
Yeah, it's not. It's basically just the randomized levels that you're getting when you open a rift or a greater rift. They've been talking for a while about adding more things to that so that it doesn't get stale.
All right. You mentioned rerolling healing into better useful stats. That's one thing that we forgot to mention about the 2.0 patch. They did put in a new character with a new profession, enchanting. She allows you to choose a stat that you don't want on an item and turn it into something that you do want. And that's a useful skill. I like it. I know I messed up on it when it first came out because I didn't quite understand how it worked. But hopefully that they'll allow us to undo an enchantment so we can fix those mistakes that we made. I'd heard here and there that they were going to make those changes to allow you to pay to have her undo those enchantments.
It would be nice. I know I've accidentally ruined a couple items just by misclicking. I thought I had the one stat highlighted and accidentally had the other stat highlighted. And as soon as you hit that button to re-roll it, that's it. You're locked into re-rolling that stat.
Yep, and you have to re-roll that stat every time, and it's frustrating as hell.
Yeah, I kind of understand why they did it that way. I don't agree with it, but the reason they did it that way is so when you set up an item for your character, it's set up for your character. And then you're not going to pass it along to another character that uses a different stat. I think they did that to keep us playing and not to try to pool all of our loot. You know, one set of gear that we could use for all our characters. The only problem with that is you accidentally click the wrong stat, or say you have two subpar stats and you reroll one and then later you find out it would have been better to have rerolled the other. Definitely be nice to have a system in place to correct that. Even if it does cost gold. I mean, it's a big gold sink already.
Oh, it'll cost gold. It'll definitely cost gold.
Yeah, and it's a big gold sink already. You reroll a stat more than five times trying to get what you want.
Hell, I'd do it. I'd let them take a component that it takes to do an enchantment and gold if they'd just let me undo it.
Yeah.
I mean, I have gear that I may never see another better version of that I'd love to just change. Mike, out of this PTR, what is your favorite change?
Well, for me right now, it's going to have to be the greater rifts. To me, that adds more to what I've been doing. It does throw an interesting wrench into the game of, like, the Rift It Forward community. They're changing the way opening rifts happens. But they also are kind of doing maybe a service. They're making it more valuable for you to play with a full party of people. Now, granted, people like me and you, we like to play just me and you. So we're not going to reap the benefit of full clearing all our rifts with four people. But I think that's what they were shooting for. They're trying to get full parties together to clear rifts. So I don't necessarily like the opening of the rift change, but the addition of the greater rift to me is great. And the legendary gems is great. And that's all tied into one thing.
The legendary gems is definitely my favorite thing. I'm really geared up to see the legendary gems. I want my legendary gems. I want them in all my gear. Or can you just have one?
Well, it looks like, I believe the patch notes say that they only can go in rings and neck pieces, which is another interesting thing because normally you would roll away from a socket.
Yeah.
In those two locations.
Interesting.
So to me, those gems have to be, their upgrading has to be enough to offset the fact that you're replacing a stat.
Yeah, my favorite thing about this PTR change is the legendary gems. I'm not going to go into it like you did, but you explained it pretty well. Mike, what is one thing you would like to see change about this game? What do you think would make it better? Just briefly.
I don't know. The biggest thing for me is I want to be able to share old gear. They need to come up with some sort of trading system. They've account bound everything. And the only way you can share gear currently is if the other person you want to give the gear to was there when it dropped, And they only have a 2-hour window. We need something to change that. Even if it's paying a large sum of gold to unbound an item, to unbind an item so that you can give it to somebody else. If you ever roll up a wizard, I have a bank full of wizard stuff.
Right.
But I can't hand it off to you.
Can't hand me any of it.
And to me, that's the biggest, best change for the game, is for them to figure out some way to re-enable trading. Because everything else, they're doing a good job. They're doing a good job of adding content. The only other thing I could maybe see is they have the Uber bosses in-game. I'd like to see them do some more with that, add more. Because them are interesting fights, fighting multiple bosses at one time.
But yeah, that is fun. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
It is hard. Man, I wanted to remove potion timers so I can just spam the heal button while I'm killing stuff. Take it back to the old school days.
Yeah, but then they'd probably reduce the amount they heal. So,
Yeah, well, you know. But I've got so many potions in my stash, it doesn't matter. I'd never run out.
Yeah, but it'd be the end of bottomless potions.
Oh, yeah, they would take away the bottomless potions. Oh, they'd probably still put a cooldown on those. I don't know. I really like the game where it's at. It's really hard for me to figure out a way to make it better. But, you know, Blizzard did a lot with Diablo 3, and they're doing a lot with World of Warcraft, and they're doing a lot with Hearthstone, and they're not doing shit with StarCraft, which is frustrating.
Well, they're working on an expansion.
They're working on their expansion, but they don't update the StarCraft universe quite as much as they do every other thing. I think they've put more work into Hearthstone and World of Warcraft and Diablo 3, but they just don't do enough with StarCraft 2. I've not seen a reason pop up on my screen to go back to StarCraft 2. But, as I mentioned before, Heroes of the Storm. Alright, so Mike, you are fortunate enough to be one of the few and the proud that have... What the hell did you do with my site, Mike? I lost my character screen that we were supposed to have up. Let's see. Pull up that roster. Oh, okay. Anyway. Alright. Heroes of the Storm is a Dota game, a Defense of the Ancients game. Mike here, the lucky bastard that he is, got into the technical alpha, which means he's playing a version of the game that will most likely change between now and the release of the game. It usually do change from alpha to release, don't they?
Usually. I mean, with any other studio, it would be a drastic change. With Blizzard, I'm not so sure, because I was in the early beta for Hearthstone. Wasn't that big of a change between the early beta and the release. With this game, I think the biggest change is they're going to be adding characters, and they're going to be restructuring characters. I've already seen a couple characters just since I've been in have some pretty big changes in how you play them. I think that's going to be the biggest change. This game could be released right now. It's in good enough shape to be a release title now with a few minor fixes.
Well, today we're going to talk about the roster of Heroes of the Storm, and we're not going to really cover much gameplay. Mainly, I haven't gotten a chance to really play it, and I've watched Mike play it, and it looks like a pretty fun game. It runs smoothly. It has a pretty thick roster of characters. I'm happy to see some of the characters, but I'm also unhappy to see a lack of certain characters.
Well, they're still adding characters. I do think, right quick, we should maybe explain what this is. You said it's a Defense of the Ancients game, but just a little, to tack onto that a little bit more, this type of game originated with Warcraft 3.
Yes.
It was a player-created mod. And basically what it is a team of players versus another team of players on a map where you're attempting to go from one side of the map to the other, clearing bases to a victory point, and you use hero characters. This game evolved into... That game evolved into other games, League of Legends.
Created an entirely new genre of games.
Yeah. That they call MOBAs, which is a multiplayer online battle arena.
Yeah, but MOBA kind of is like, when you say MOBA, you're also throwing in Awesome Knots, the 2D games like that. When we talk about MOBAs like Hearthstone, League of Legends, we're going to just call those Dotas. They just call them Dotas, Defense of the Ancients style games. If that's what League of Legends is. I've never played League of Legends.
Yeah, but Blizzard has made it a point to say that this is not a Defense of the Ancients game. They call this a hero battler.
Oh, okay.
They want to distinguish themselves from it, and it's true, because even though the basic idea is the same.
It's a war of pushing, right? You push, and you take out important parts of the map. You push till you get to the enemy base, destroy the enemy base or capture or whatever, and then you win.
And that's the structure that's the same as the Defense of the Ancients. The difference is in the characters and how you get stronger throughout the match. Everything's shared. You share levels with your whole team. Everybody levels up at the same time. There's no items in the game, and from what I hear, no plan to add items to the game. So it's just the character you pick, the talents you choose as you level up. And also another big issue, but another big change is in all the Dota games, the way you get experience and money to buy items is you have to be the last person to land a hit. And in this game, they've eliminated all that.
So you get rewarded for your effort.
You get rewarded for your effort, period.
Mike, I think if this game didn't play half as well as all of the other Dota games that are out there, I think it'd still succeed based on the characters you could play as.
Exactly. Some people point out that, oh, well, this character is this character in League of Legends. Those people need to realize that League of Legends took all those characters from another game themselves. I mean, they basically copied the Dota characters up. Now, they have added new ones, and we may see some of these that kind of mirror the League of Legends characters, but it originated here, and you also have the power of the recognizable faces from the big company that is Blizzard. So let's go ahead, let's get into the characters that you like and who you'd like to see.
Okay, well, let's just talk about what characters are in the game. Alright, first we have Abathur. He's the guy that makes the Zerg evolve as you progress through the Zerg campaign of StarCraft 2. He's kind of creepy, and you told me he's kind of a creepy character in the game. He's very strange.
Well, he's probably the biggest difference from all other characters. He plays entirely different. You basically will sit inside your base with this character. You're not going out onto the battlefield. You're not hitting people in the face with your character.
Because Abathur is pretty much the wizard. He's a wizard. I mean, he's from StarCraft, but if StarCraft had magic, I suppose, Abathur would be that person. I mean, he's... Or something, a summoner, a necromancer.
Yeah.
Character. Necromancer character. All right. Next, we have Arthas. Everybody knows Arthas. And one thing I like about Heroes of the Storm in general is that you showed me you can get different skins. And you could play as Death Knight Arthas, or you could play as Paladin Arthas. And I thought that was pretty neat. I just didn't agree with the prices of the skins. Those prices are insane.
Yeah, they just made the most recent patch. They made it some modifications to prices. So hopefully they'll make more. It is neat that you can skin Arthas over to his Prince Arthas skin where he's a Paladin. But it is all aesthetic. You're not now playing a healer version of Arthas.
So you're Paladin Arthas shooting death coil at people and stuff like that, if that's one of his skills. Then you have Brightwing. He's a fairy dragon from World of Warcraft. I'm not familiar with this character.
I wasn't familiar with the specific character. I'd heard the name, but he's basically just your standard...
Is he a pet?
He might be. I'm not positive. Been out of that loop for too long. But he's just your standard healer. I guess we should say Arthas plays as a tank in the game. He is a tank-style character structured around having a big health pool. Abathur is considered a specialist. And they haven't really defined specialist, but he's definitely special. Brightwing is considered a support character, so he has a lot of healing abilities. Buffing ability, either a buffer or a healer is what a support would
be. Well, Brightwing, since this list on HeroesFire.com is in alphabetical order, Brightwing is the first cute character of the game.
Yeah.
Then after that, Diablo himself. Not Diablo, not the Diablo with tits. The actual Diablo, the one that strikes fear into the hearts of many.
Yeah, his model looks like a mix between the Diablo 1 Diablo and the Diablo 2 Diablo. The big burly chest.
He looks brutal, man. He looks like one. He looks like if you were playing and you were kind of walking through the map and Diablo shows up, you're gonna shit yourself. He just looks that scary.
Yeah, and he's one of the bigger models in the game. Also structured as a tank. I like his play style. They need to tweak him a little bit. I haven't played him since the patch.
I love the Godzilla skin that Diablo has. I love it to death.
It's Kaiju skin.
Kaiju skin. They could call it Godzilla skin, but that's Godzilla, and he looks awesome. I don't think I'll play as Diablo, but that Kaiju skin does look sweet. Next is the ETC.
Elite Tauren Chieftain.
The Elite Tauren Chieftain, or is it Epic Tauren Chieftain? Elite. Alright, it's a Tauren with a guitar, a guitar that's an axe. I've never seen this character. Mike ensures me that he is in World of Warcraft.
Well, it came from the World of Warcraft universe. Not sure if he's made it into the game. I think he has. But he's a reoccurring thing that has come up now. Multiple BlizzCons. My understanding, he originates from a fan-made Machinima video using WoW characters.
Seeing this guy makes me scream. Where the hell is Leroy Jenkins?
You know, it's one of those ones that they're still adding characters. They have a lot of character slots left open.
Right.
They have a click to the next page button that's grayed out right now. I imagine we're going to see many heroes in this game.
Next, we have Falstad. Is he a paladin on a griffin or a warrior on a griffin?
I don't know that he falls into the class. The World of Warcraft class structure that you're looking for.
Falstad Wildhammer is the High Thane of the Wildhammer clan and a founding member of the Council of Three Hammers that now presides over Ironforge. Despite wild speculation, Falstad has never been dead, and anyone who claims such is a liar.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to fall in your traditional classes, like from World of Warcraft classes, to say that he's a warrior or he's a paladin. He doesn't really fall in that. He seems like he would be a warrior-style character, but his abilities doesn't lend themselves towards warrior abilities in particular. He's the only character who he stays on a mount the whole time. He rides his griffin the whole time. So his attacks are ranged. He throws his hammer.
Right.
He does have some close range abilities, but he's not the same as a melee character, and I believe he's categorized as a ranged character.
Alright, next is another World of Warcraft character, Gazlo, the boss of Ratchet.
Gazlo's very interesting, and has quickly become one of my three favorite characters to play as. Gazlo is essentially a goblin wearing a robot suit, or wearing a robot backpack, and he's considered a specialist, and he has interesting abilities. He puts down turrets, lobs timed bombs, and he's very good for taking out merc camps and pushing lanes. He's not the greatest hero battler, but his style lends really well, and he has interesting things. His ultimate makes him transform into a full-blown big robot. Very interesting character. And like I said, he's one of my favorites so far.
Then we have Illidan, Demon Hunter.
Wanted to love this character. When I saw that Illidan was in this game, Illidan's one of my favorite World of Warcraft characters, period. Sadly, so far playing the game, he is lackluster to me. He's considered a melee assassin character. To me, that means he should hit hard. I don't mind him being squishy because they consider him an assassin. And squishy means, for the people not up on the lingo, it means that he dies very easily. He can't take very many hits. Illidan can't take very many hits and isn't hitting very hard either at the time being. So he's...
Well, then they need to fix that because he is a badass in World of Warcraft.
Exactly.
Kerrigan, a favorite of mine and yours. She's probably overpowered, isn't she?
Not overpowered, but she is.
Overpowered, she's probably annoying.
She's not in my top three characters, but I will say she's my favorite melee character. A character that attacks in that melee range. She's had a good standing on how strong she is attack-wise. I just made some changes to her defensive side, and I haven't really got to play around with that yet. If they make her too much easier to kill, though, they may have to buff her strength up some. But she's a fun character to play.
Alright, next is Lili from World of Warcraft. She's a little Pandaren. She's really cute, so this is your second cutesy character. Mike, just briefly, is Lili a badass or not?
The jury's still out. I haven't played Lili, but as playing against her, she's damn near impossible to kill.
Okay.
She is the strongest healer in the game by far. And so she's quite irritating to be a cutesy character. Very, very irritating.
Another World of Warcraft character, Malfurion Stormrage. I hate this character. He's one of my least favorite characters in the World of Warcraft. Mike, have you played him?
I did play a couple games as him because he was on the free rotation recently. He is an okay healer. And prior to this most recent patch was okay. It's dealing a little bit of damage. They seem to have buffed his damage some, because I've noticed that later in the game, one-on-one, he might take you out, even when you're playing a character that should be able to take him out easy. So that they seem to have buffed his healing and his damage output enough to make him competitive in a one-on-one.
Next, we have Mirrodin. He's the king. He's the dwarven king. He's a dwarf. I like him automatically. I hope they don't drop the ball with him. I hope he's good.
I've played as him. He's a fun character to play as. He's also one of the lower price range characters, only costing 2,000 gold and only costing, I think, $3 if you buy him for cash. He's fun to play. He's a melee character. He's got good mobility, pretty good survivability. I think you'd enjoy him. I know you like dwarves. I think you'd enjoy playing as him.
Next is Murky the Baby Murloc. I love Murlocs. I love baby Murlocs. He just looks like he'd be kind of goofy to play around with. But you say he is the most annoying character in the game.
He's the most complained about character. If you go to the forums, you'll see thread after thread after thread. He's designed really strange. He's not designed right now to help out with the team, to actually run with the team and attack and kill. He's designed to run down to his own little path and just suicide himself. He's a suicide bomber. He's a suicide bomber. Suicide himself into buildings and push a lane. And the big complaint is if you're on the team with him, then you're essentially fighting 4-on-5. But if you're playing against him, you have to sacrifice a person to babysit him, or he'll wipe your base out by himself.
Next is the first Diablo 3. No, not the first Diablo. No, actually the first Diablo 3 character. I say generic witch doctor character. They give him the name Nazebo. I don't know if that's from any kind of literature in the series or not. Do the Diablo 3 characters play like Diablo 3, or is it a whole different game?
Well, with the Witch Doctor, it's definitely kind of similar. There is a little bit of control variances, which is maybe on another podcast, or I may even write an article about the controls. Okay. But on how he plays compared to a Diablo 3, it's similar, but you got to also understand that he doesn't have all the abilities that a Witch Doctor would have. So it'll be familiar, but at the same time, it is different because the control scheme works differently.
Next is Nova, Blizzard's most abused character. I like Nova in the series. I think playing as Nova would be fun. If you could cloak, and cloak works as well as it should, I could see being really annoying with her.
Well, playing with Nova and one of the other characters, which we should be getting to, well, no, he'll be at the end of the list. The two characters that cloak. Cloak works, it's not activated. It works as if you're not in combat for 2 seconds, you become cloaked. You want to be cloaked as much as possible as Nova. She's very, very squishy, and she does high damage. She's extremely hard to play with. She was one of the characters that I spent gold on first, bought her, and have not played her very much because I need to get my skill level up with the way this game controls to be able to play a character that needs to be as tap and run as she is.
Now we have Jim Raynor, the Terran leader, the hero of the StarCraft series, pretty much. He should be Kronk. Is he Kronk?
If you build him correctly with the talents, he's pretty powerful. He is the introductory character, so he's the best character for a new player to start off with because he has a low amount of abilities. So he's the easiest one to kind of learn the game with, but he does buff up to be strong enough to push hard, especially when you get into his higher level abilities. I enjoy playing as Raynor. He's not my favorite, but he's a ranged class with a low learning curve, so really good for new players.
All right, then you have Sergeant Hammer, a siege tank. This is going to be the character that I start, when I start playing this game, this is going to be the character that if I don't start with, I'm going to aim to purchase, because siege tanks are my favorite unit in StarCraft.
That's going to be an issue. We're going to have to trade that one back and forth. Possibly, with the exception of the new character they just got, possibly my favorite character in the game right now. Love playing a Sergeant Hammer. He's considered a support, or not a support, he's considered a specialist. He's really good at pushing lanes by himself because he can attack outside of the building's attack range. The only issue with him is early on, you siege up, you can't move while you're sieged, you have to be really careful, you're an easy target. Later in the game, Your mobility goes up. He's a very fun character to play.
You say him. Sergeant Hammer is a sexy
lady. Female. Yeah. It's actually a female.
Ride the tank girl.
They need to add in a little more vocal to it, though, because you don't really notice that it's a female in the game as much. And you have the option to dance in this game, to do a slash dance. When you do it as a siege tank, it just sits still. I think they should add something, maybe her popping out the top or something.
Next character we have is Sonya. Which I'm just going to go ahead and say Red Sonya, because she's redheaded, she's a barbarian, she's from Diablo 3. I mean, it's just a generic named Diablo 3 character. Up or down, good or bad?
Mixed feelings so far. I think she should have been a character that's based on attack. I think they're trying to build her as a tank character. I've had touch and go with her, and I don't know if it's just I'm not playing her right, not speccing her right. She had some big changes in the most recent patch, so we'll see. But right now, it seems like, as a tank, she's not quite sturdy enough, and as a damage dealer, she's not quite pushing out enough damage. So she's kind of that in-between, not the greatest tank, not the greatest damage dealer.
Next, we have everybody's favorite newbie destroyer, Stitches, from World of Warcraft. I was really surprised to see Stitches in here. When I saw his model, his graphic at your house, hey, he looked so awesome.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the better looking characters. I think they knew they had to put an Abomination in, and I think Stitches is the biggest name.
I think he's the only named Abomination that I can think of, or at least he's the only named Abomination that every player is eventually exposed to or was. I don't even know if he's in the current model of, or the current version of World of Warcraft.
Oh, I'm sure he's there somewhere. But he's not the only one. I mean, you have a Abomination boss in one of the little 5-man dungeons, and then you have Patchwork raid boss.
Oh, yeah, Patchwork. That's right.
But I think Stitches is the one that people know the most. He's an interesting character. He's obviously going to be a tank character. He plays really neat. I haven't played him myself, but I've watched a lot on him. To me, I think he's going to be my favorite tank character, yeah, at least for right now. Maybe tying with Tyrael. Tyrael's a good tank character.
He's going to be my second favorite character, I think, that I'll play right after I'm done playing with Sergeant Hammer. Next is Tassadar. Is he a High Templar in this game?
He's a High Templar.
Okay. Does he get to do Psystorm and all that?
They just made him more High Templar-y. They gave him Psystorm in the most recent patch.
I bet Psystorm rips apart mercenary camps.
It makes him more High Templars for sure. Previously, he didn't have Psystorm. He had I forget what it was called, but he'd lay a bubble on the ground, and that bubble dealt damage if you're inside of it, and it'd slow you down. Well, now you got Psystorm that does the same thing, but it does more damage. They beefed his damage up. He needed it because he's not really a healer, so he can be a healer through talents, but not through basic abilities. So he's They gave him a little bit more damage, but he's considered a specialist, so he's not a high damage character. But boy, can he be annoying!
And then that backstabbing bastard, Tychus Finley. You know, I'm thinking Tychus is going to be a ranged DPS character or ranged specialist. Is that what we were calling?
No, he's a the DPS characters are called assassins. Yeah. So he's a ranged assassin. Haven't played with him.
I bet he would be a blast to play as with that big minigun.
He seems to be. I mean, he can attack while moving once he winds his minigun up. I don't know. I've had mixed feelings with him playing against him. I've had some characters, I guess, people just not know how to play him and just blow right through him. Then I've had other characters be super annoying, very hard to take out as Tychus. So it'll be interesting once he comes up on the free rotation to check him out.
All right. Angelic Tyrael. He looks cool. He's probably pretty badass because he's one of the heralded characters of the Blizzard universe. Have you had any Tyrael versus Kerrigan fights yet?
Yeah, I have. Tyrael versus Kerrigan. It's not early on. You're gonna get owned. Tyrael doesn't do enough damage to deal with Kerrigan. Doesn't have enough health. Later in the game, though, if you build Tyrael right, he's tank. He'll out health Kerrigan. It's interesting. The fun games is Tyrael versus Diablo. Tank versus tank. It's more interesting. Tyrael's interesting. I want to see what they do with him. They've made some quite a few changes to his abilities since the alpha started, and I haven't played with him since this recent patch to see what they've changed now. But he's a pretty good tank character. He's got good mobility. I just think that he's kind of in that Sonya pool where he needs a little more survivability. I've died a lot playing as him.
Tyrande Whisperwind, does she have a tiger for a mount?
Well, at default, everybody starts with a horse.
Okay.
But mounts are a purchasable thing, so I know that there are tigers that you can buy.
I bet she's annoying. I bet she's annoying just like she is in Warcraft 3.
She's a reasonably strong healer. I would say she's probably maybe the second or third best. I'm not sure about her and Uther, who comes out on top. But she has some really annoying stun mechanics. She has stun locking in this game. Is something they need to address, and she adds to that pool of stuns. So, but as a healer, she's pretty good. I played as her as a healer. She's pretty fun to play with.
Speaking of Uther the Lightbringer, he looks pretty cool. Is he cool to play as?
Haven't played as him. He hasn't been on the rotation yet, but he's one of those characters that he's a healer, but you can also buff him up as to be pretty beefy health wise, and a strong healer that's not going to die. It can be pretty dangerous. It's kind of like the Lili thing where she's hard to kill, so she can hang in there and keep characters alive longer. He's the healer that you want to get rid of him quick because he's got a big health pool.
Vala the Demon Hunter. In fact, Vala's model looks just like my Demon Hunter on Diablo 3, which is kind of funny. I'm interested in playing as Demon Hunter on Heroes of the Storm. You said that the Demon Hunter was pretty crazy.
She's interesting. And with her, I can answer your control question a little better because I've played with her more than the Witch Doctor. She plays a lot like she does in Diablo 3, with the subtle exceptions of the control differences that there are there. But she controls well, feels good, fun to play as. She's not in my top 3, but she's probably number 4 because she's fun to play with. You can vault in, pick people off, vault out, and she's an extremely enjoyable character.
All right, next we have Zagara, Broodmother of the Swarm, a queen from StarCraft II's Heart of the Swarm expansion.
Recently added. Just added her this past Tuesday. Probably, she's the one that's tied with Sergeant Hammer as my favorite character. She seems to be effective against pretty much anybody. She's stout enough to stand up to things. She's a really great lane pusher, a really great mercenary camp character. That's why I enjoy her, because if I have a team that's kind of screwy, then I can just take that character, grab a bunch of mercenaries, and shove a lane by myself, and she's really good for stuff like that.
And last but not least, we have Zeratul, the StarCraft universe's most misunderstood Protoss.
This is our other cloaked character. All I can tell you about Zeratul is when other people play him, they smash me. When I play as him, I don't do so good. So I guess I have a lot of trouble with melee characters, and I think it's the controls. I'm still getting used to the controls, and like I said, that's something I'll have to write up or go into in a different podcast. But he's interesting. He's the other cloak character, so he can slip up on you and take you out pretty quick. So he's a fun character, interesting character to play. I'm just not that great with him.
Boy, Mike, we talked an hour for video games. That's like most of the podcast time, but you know what? We'll go as long as we have to. But we just went and watched Transformers Age of Extinction, and I'm going to have to say that it is better than 2, but not as good as 1 and 3. I give it a 6 out of 10. When I write a review for Transformers 4 for the website, it's going to get 6 stars out of 10. It was good. It was interesting. It didn't have as much action as the third movie had, but the robots seemed to have a lot more character. I just wish there was more robot in it. I just wanted to say something real quick about Transformers.
Yeah, I would say that I agree for the most part. I think it's on the same level as the first one, though, for me. I liked Mark Wahlberg over Shia LaBeouf. And, I don't know, I think it had a little more story. I don't think they delivered it that well, but I think this was more of a story and hopefully setting up a bigger picture.
I think they could have edited about 20 minutes out of the movie to make it a little bit shorter. The movie felt like it was just too long. But what did surprise me is Kelsey Grammer. Yeah, Kelsey Grammer did a really good job playing the villain.
A good, believable bad guy.
Yes.
And that's, to me, that's the first believable bad guy we've had in terms of the humans. Because
yeah.
All the other bad guys that were human were all kind of like goofy. Kind of silly. I miss the Autobots versus Decepticons battle. I mean, I really think it took away from the quality of the movie. But all in all, when the Dinobots came out, that made the movie for me. And that being said, Game of Thrones, were you satisfied with the way season, is this 3 or this is 4? This is 4. Were you satisfied with the way season 4 ended?
I was, and as I told you off air, this is the season that seems to have had the most glaring changes when it comes to comparing the series with the books.
Really?
But that the way that they've explained it, though, is just they don't have enough time to introduce enough characters, so they got to make these changes.
So this is where I'm going to say, spoiler alert! So if you don't want to know what's going on in Game of Thrones because you don't know how to keep up, then you may want to skip to the next section. When I post this on the webpage, there'll be a nice little article. You'll know before you even get to this part, so I don't even know why I'm saying that. But it's a spoiler alert, and we're going to talk about some differences between the book and the series.
Yeah, I found a great website that basically has it laid out. Now, we're going to be looking at the season 4 changes today, but when we link this website, there's actually a page for every season. For seasons 1 through 4, and that's where you'll start realizing that not only are they making changes, but they're doing some things out of order. Some things happen earlier or later in the series than they do in the books.
Now, Mike, this page has a lot of differences listed, but what were some of the most major differences in this page?
Well, I think the big ones for me was when we have the battle at the wall. We have some deaths that aren't in the book, and those deaths are there because of a lack of other characters. Pip and Grin die in the series, and these two characters do not die in the book. As of yet, anyways, they haven't died in the book. And basically, Grin dies in place of the blacksmith, who I cannot remember his name now, but the blacksmith for the Night's Watch is the one who dies to the giant, instead of Grin dying to the giant. Pip dying at the hands of Ygritte is, I'm not sure that he's dying in place of somebody. I think they just wanted George R. R. Martin it up and kill somebody off, and so they took out Pip. Another big change there is that you're not supposed to know who kills Ygritte. In the books, when Ygritte dies, John doesn't know who did it. He actually thinks he may have done it at first, and he has to check the arrows to make sure that he wasn't the one who accidentally shot her. And a couple other little glaring issues there is that Alistair's not even there, but they have him being the leader at the beginning of the attacks. And the attacks take place over multiple days. It's not just one attack. So that's some of your differences. But the other big difference comes in to when you're dealing with Arya and the Hound.
Yeah, that was one thing that I wanted to talk about with you. You told me that the Hound does not die this way. I was very, very impressed with the way they let the Hound die. I was kind of sad that the Hound died because he's one of my favorite characters. And I felt that his really poor father figuring of Arya was kind of, I don't know, they just meshed really well. But I'm telling you, and I'm about to use a really foul word here, but the Hound, oh my God, he just kicked her right in the pussy hole. Dude, what do you think about that?
It was, I liked it. I liked the scene. And even though it's not the way it happens in the book, it's not, and it is, because in the book, she does fight the Hound. It's just not really the Hound. She fights somebody who's masquerading as him. Okay. But the fight scene was excellent. I really enjoy the character. The guy who plays the Hound in the show is excellent. He's one of my favorite characters also.
Yeah, that fight was really good. The lady that portrays Brienne of Tarth, she does an amazing job. Her on-screen chemistry with the guy who plays Jaime Lannister, very good. That was that could have been a whole different damn TV show. The Adventures of Jaime and Brienne, watching Jaime make fun of her the whole time while she's saving his ass. You know, it was fun.
Yeah, and that's one good thing about reading the books is you get a little bit more of that. The only difference there is that in the books, they don't build up the love affair quite as strong. They reference it way more in the series. Or put more reference on that's maybe an end goal intention.
Do you now I'm going to ask you some things that you think. Just some feelings. And this is with disregard to the books and whatnot. Do you feel that they blew their load too early by killing Joffrey right at the beginning of the season?
No, I don't, because I almost feel he should have died at the end of last season.
That would have been a great way to end last season.
It seemed like they wanted to hold that to kick off the season with a bang, because to me, the pacing of last season seemed like it was going to end with that, and then it didn't.
That's called the Purple Wedding on the Game of Thrones Wikipedia. What about Daenerys and her dragons? As we saw, the dragons were locked in the dungeon, and Did she fly off on the Black Dragons? I can't remember.
Not yet.
Not,
this is the Daenerys storyline in this season is one of those instances of them jumping around in time, as far as the timeline with the books goes. You've seen some stuff on the show that wouldn't, if you went season 4, supposed to be book 4, then that stuff doesn't happen in book 4. Or it happens later. It's a little out of order, but it's interesting that they've pushed into that part already. I can't wait to see what all they go into with her next season. I would think she has to be more of a focus for next season, because even though they did kind of skip ahead, they didn't touch on a lot of things, so it'll be interesting to see a lot more storyline on that side. One thing I want to bring up, because I know there was a little controversy about it when it happened. On the show, there is a borderline, or I guess you could say rape scene, Jaime Lannister and Cersei Lannister. In the book, that scene does not happen that way. In the book, Jaime's not at the wedding. Jaime shows up after Joffrey's dead, and his first encounter with Cersei is in the hall where Joffrey was at, and it's consensual. She doesn't fight him in the book, so it's interesting that they changed that to make it look like she was resisting. Not really sure why they did that.
I don't remember. Didn't they do that with Daenerys and Khal Drogo, too?
Well, it was a little bit different than the way the book read. But yeah, there were differences with the initial first sex scene between Daenerys and Drogo, but actually this page describes it. If you were on the season one, when it does mention it, it kind of mentions the subtle differences. That one wasn't as great. I mean, this one literally looked like he was forcing himself on her. She was fighting him. It was almost like like he was raping her. Whereas in the book, it's not at all. It's completely consensual.
What did you think about Tyrion's speech when he was put on trial? Were you moved?
Oh, yeah. And Tyrion being probably my favorite character from the show. And the books. He's really well written in the books. Love the speech. Love the delivery. Peter Dinklage does an excellent job as his character.
Yeah, I love him. He's an awesome guy. I think the speech at the trial was pretty good. I think his trial by combat, you know, if it worked once, do it again. It was so like him to do that. I was sad for Tyrion because his comfortable life is now over. He should be getting into the rough and tumbles of the Braavos. Is that where he's going?
I believe, yeah. The first place he goes is Braavos, if I remember correctly. He's not going to go into complete rough and tumble just yet. He is going to be he's going to have this little stretch of pampered, and then he's going to fall into more of a hardship scenario. It depends on how the show depicts it, because in the book, he's good for a while. He's stays drunk for days on end, and then he goes off to trying to find Daenerys. It's kind of his end goal, and he bumps into another character. I don't want to spoil too much, but he bumps into another character, and they go to see Daenerys, and then it gets a little rough on him.
Do you think Tywin would have went ahead and executed Tyrion, even though, as the crossbow was pointed at him?
He says a line that's in the show, but not in the books, so I think he was going to execute him. I think in the books, he would have executed.
Because Tywin, he's a lying asshole. He'll say what he's got to say to get the job done. I was personally cheering when he choked out Shay, and I was applauding my television when he shot Tywin.
Yeah, and that's another really good read of the books. The storyline, the story arcs with Shay, and then the trial stuff was a little bit different. And they also leave out Tyrion doesn't shoot Tywin over Shay in the books.
Yeah, he just shoots him just because, right?
No. When Jaime sets Tyrion free in the books, Jaime tells Tyrion that his first wife, the wife that he gets married to in their little kind of flashback story, they lied to him and told him that she was a whore. And right. Jaime confesses that that wasn't true, that she wasn't a whore. And so Tyrion gets mad at Jaime. And then that's what causes him to go up to Tywin's room to begin with. Now, he finds Shay. He feels betrayed because Shay's in the bed with Tywin, and he kills her in the exact same manner. But then when he's talking to Tywin, he's talking about, not about Shay, as he is in the series, he's talking about his first wife. And he asks where Tysha is, which is the name of the wife, and Tywin's like, wherever whores go, and that's when he pops him off. He'd already warned him not to say whore, to call her a whore, but he pops him off over that. It's a little better story arc, because the show didn't really paint all the Shay stuff the way they should have, to try to use her as the reason for him shooting Tywin.
Well, I liked it. I'm ready for the next season. Boy, this season felt like it was short. It makes me miss the old days when you'd get 24 episodes in a season, but at the same time, quality over quantity. I mean, it seems the shorter these TV episodes get, the better the shows are. I recently watched Fargo, which I am not going to talk about because I want you to watch it because it is great. Billy Bob Thornton melts the faces off of every TV actor in the world in that show. It is the best single show, and I don't really know if I'm on this boat of what they want to do with the Fargo TV show, but I'll just tell you that you need to watch the original Fargo film, and this goes for all you listeners. You need to watch the original Fargo film, and you need to watch the TV show, and you need to get your notes out and start comparing and enjoy the ride, because it is masterful. It is absolutely worth your time. Quick thing on music, Mike, I gave you a homework assignment. I made you do something that you don't typically do. I made you watch some music videos from E3. I wanted to talk to you about your feelings on something, but this is going to be a pretty brief little conversation. I mean, I told you it wouldn't be that long. On the page, I'm going to have a list. Why do I keep talking about on the page? Of course you're going to see that stuff. You're going to read this article before you watch the video, right?
Right.
If you look on the page, I'm going to have a list of songs for you to look up. These are just some good songs off of some trailers from E3. I wrote a long article on E3. If you're into the video game scene, it's worth taking a look at. But I noticed that this year, more than ever, almost every major video game trailer came attached to a popular song, or a new song, or a cover song. The first was Dead Island 2, The Bomb. What did you think about that?
It was pretty good.
It really went with the video, didn't it? With the trailer.
It does go excellently with the trailer. I can't say it's my favorite music of the E3 videos.
I've been jamming out to Pigeon John while I've been writing articles left and right, man. I love it.
It's not bad, and it does match up really well with the video that they put together. But I wouldn't say it's my favorite. You didn't put my favorite on the list.
Oh, yeah, the Forza.
Yeah, that one was, the music was excellent.
Then there was Lord. I don't know who Lord is. Apparently, it's popular because their cover of Everybody Wants to Rule the World, they use it on Assassin's Creed Unity. If you noticed, it was used in the trailer for the Dracula movie they previewed at Transformers today. And it's been used on another thing, too. I think it was used in an actual show I watched. That song is a lot darker than the... What is it, Duran Duran that sings the original one? I can't remember. It doesn't matter.
Duran Duran or Steppenwolf, maybe?
I don't remember.
It's a good version of the song. It's much better than the other cover on the list.
Dark. And it kind of brings me back to that idea that Bioshock Infinite had the same song, sang in a really weird way, and it's just so funny. But the Assassin's Creed Unity video... That game, that trailer with that song makes me want that game. I just want everybody I know to get it so I could play a full squad of assassins. What did you think about that one?
Oh, like I said, I liked it. It's a really good cover of the song, and I like the song to begin with, so it helps out.
All right, next was Mike Oldfield, Nuclear. It was on a Metal Gear Solid 5 trailer. I left Metal Gear Solid 5 out of my E3 article, probably to the duress of many video game fans, but Metal Gear Solid sucks. I'm sorry. It just sucks. It's too convoluted, and the song that they put in this trailer didn't go with it.
Yeah, it doesn't match the trailer at all, to the point to where I don't even really remember the song because it didn't fit, so I just kind of started zoning it out.
Another one is this Lissy Mother song for the Evolve video. I couldn't do it. I couldn't watch the whole trailer with that song playing because it was. I know some people, that's going to be some people's thing, that type of music, but it was just too slow. And Evolve is like, I'm going to have some speed metal playing while I'm watching an Evolve.
I was giving it an unfair, I still don't think it's a great cover, but I was giving it an unfair diagnosis at the beginning because the song does start out that way. The original song does start out slow. And like I said, it's good at the end when they get to the part where in the original song they sped up. It sounds a little better. I don't really like the singer in this particular cover all that much.
But. Then my favorite, and this is the second time that I know of that Gearbox did this. They made a music video specifically for Borderlands, their new Borderlands game. They used TNGHT's Acrylics, which Acrylics is a dubstep song. I think it's made by more than one dubstep artist, quote unquote. Watch it. It's hilarious. It's not as funny as Borderlands 2's trailer.
And it's not as good to me. The music in this one is good, but not as good as the regular Borderlands 2.
But this video is worth a watch. It has a little bit of Claptrap, but not as much as the last one. X Ambassadors with Jungle for Battlefield Hardline. I watched it. for 20 seconds and I turned it off because I'm getting tired of these overhyped FPS games. They're all the same. It's really starting to feel like these games are all the same.
Well, that one, I know we're not here to talk about the games, but that game be an expansion from Battlefield.
It is an expansion for Battlefield, actually.
No, it's not. It's a standalone $60 game.
Really?
That's the problem. All it is an expansion, but they're charging a full price for it. And it's basically to make it like another game.
Wow.
It's like Payday 2, but with players playing as the cop. I don't know. It's interesting. I watched probably about a minute of that one. I'm not going to knock the music, but it definitely wasn't that interesting.
At Sea, Something in the Way. I love that video and I love that song for The Last of Us, the remastered version. Loved it. I want to play that game. It's a shame I haven't played it. And when I do play it, I'm probably going to write a long article about it. Because Naughty Dog is the best developer on the PlayStation 3. Naughty Dog is the console seller for Sony. I bought a PS3 for Uncharted. I'm going to buy a PS4 for Uncharted. So there's that. And like I said, we're not going to talk about the games, but that trailer was perfect. Dan Crawl from Nowhere, GTA 5. This is Grand Theft Auto remastered for all the consoles, but I just put GTA 5 PC because that's the only one that matters. It's for the PC.
Yeah. And it's the one that looks far and away better.
I'm not familiar with Dan Crawl's work, but the song they used on GTA 5 went very well. It was a song about progression, and that's what they have done with the game. Then, they didn't really focus around this song from The Clash for the Far Cry 4 trailer. But if you watch the whole video, and I know you didn't watch the whole video because it's kind of 6 minutes and we were ready to roll tape on this podcast. When you watch that video, and it's intense, this is why I love Far Cry, because Ubisoft really manages to bring that cinematic tension into the game. At the end, when all hell breaks loose and that song starts playing, it will make the hairs on your back stand up. It's when you get home and you get a free moment, blow it up on your TV. It's going to be in high def. Watch it. It's amazing.
And it's Should I Stay or Should I Go? You said The Clash. You didn't mention the song.
Yeah, The Clash, Should I Stay or Should I Go? You know, Mike, I'm reading Stephen King's Night Shift book. It's a collection of short stories. I'm trying to get it read because I want to write an article for my book review stuff. I'm trying to do all the Stephen King works for the webpage. And as you know, I'm trying to do one article per day for Just Chill Here. And part of this is not only am I making a variety webpage for video game nerds, movie buffs, bookworms, Pinterest fans, and foodies, and politics, just everything. But I want to make a really good effort at doing all of Stephen King's work. I think I'm going to start by reading all of his short stories. And Night Shift, I think, is his first collection. And I'm trying to read it right now. And that's all I'm reading. And that's all I've got for books. What about you? You got any books on your radar?
Well, I'm not reading anything right now. I'm waiting for a couple books to come out. But I would throw up a recommendation. And this is another thing I may put a little article about on the website. It's a fun little book. It's called The Sheriff of Yornimir. And I'll have to get that spelling for you, because it's definitely spelled really weird. It's a play on saying your name here, which is something that comes into the topic in the book. If you like a Western style book, or if you like a bounty hunter style book, but all set in a space, futuristic space setting, it's a really good book. Short. It's not one that's going to tie you down for a long period of time. And hopefully it's going to get a sequel. I've heard that it's going to get a sequel. But it's a fun little book. Kind of cowboy bounty hunter-esque, but it's set in the future with space. Deals with corporations having taken over and ran things, and it deals with implants that tie you into the internet through brain implants. A little bit of cannibalism.
Wow.
Getting chased.
This book's all over the place.
Yeah, it's all over the place, but it's fun and it's short.
Sounds fun. Sounds interesting. I do plan on reading the Game of Thrones books, but I'm going to see if George R.R. Martin dies before the series is finished, before I make that commitment. Because this guy's slower than... What does he do? I don't understand. It's not like he's writing 30 books a year. I guess he's just... I don't know. Maybe he's too busy partying.
Maybe he's just trying to keep writing them well. Because so far, they're written well. I've enjoyed reading. I've read all of the books so far. And I've enjoyed every bit of it.
Now, another part of the webpage and what we're going to do is we're going to do some projects. And I'm going to introduce the readers and listeners to a couple of my own personal hobbies. And I may get you to do some things, or you may help me do some things. The first thing I'm probably going to do, if I ever get to write an article, is I'm going to do it on papercraft. And it's going to be about my Bulbasaur build that I did. And I think Haley has taken ownership of my Bulbasaur papercraft, or Chloe. One of your daughters have. And it's a long video. It was hard. It was 12 hours of video footage that I had to trim down to like 10 minutes or something like that.
Time lapse.
And it was... Huh?
And time-lapse?
Yeah, time-lapse. I mean, that had to be sped up. Paper crafting? I won't do every project to be paper crafting. I have a project to tear my patio down and rebuild it. I think I'm going to get my tripod out and record me tearing it down and building it and putting that into a time-lapse video. I have a drain ditch that I got to do. It's just projects. It's just whatever. You know, whatever people find interesting. I'll narrate it some. I may add in a little bit of music, some wackety sax, because it's always going to look funny when I'm working. Hell, I thought about doing a long-term project, because, you know, I love splitting wood. That's my exercise. And I thought about splitting a cord of wood, which, for all of you out there who don't know what a cord of wood is, just take my word for it. It's a lot of damn firewood. Thinking about just splitting wood and recording me filling up that cord of wood. I think it would be neat. It'd just be... See, it would take a lot of space and a lot of work, but I think it'd be worth it. But my biggest project, right there, losing weight.
That was a belly slap.
Yes, that was. I am 380 pounds. I've gained all my weight back that I lost from my Weight Watchers diet, plus some. And for those of you who know me, I've bitched and groaned about my feet hurting. I have a heel spur now. I'm not sleeping very well. I feel all right, though. But I can feel better. I'm going to try to stick to this diet this time. Now, those of you who were familiar with Just Chill Here in its former iteration, I had a weight loss page going on, and I lost a lot of weight on that page, but I gave up because I didn't have the drive. Killed myself working on the webpage. I'm not killing myself now. You know, I'm actually sitting here enjoying this pot. Okay, all right. I've written about 8,000 words in the last 3 days, and I've edited all fine, whatever, but I'm doing a podcast, and this is fun. This is different. But anyway, my diet plans. I am on the Weight Watchers diet. Probably gonna start it. I say I'm on it now, but I'm on and off until after I come back from my Florida trip. After my Florida trip, I will be hitting it hard, and I'll be exercising every day, which I've been exercising every day this week.
And vacations are the bane of your diets.
Yes, they are.
You have to learn to work past that.
Oh, I'm probably going on a cruise in the near future, and I'm probably going to hurt myself. But with that being said, for my projects, that weight loss thing is going to be one page, perhaps, or it'll be a series of articles. But I'm going to track that weight. I'm going to make a nice, pretty graph for everybody to look at. And I'm thinking I might do a little video thing, and this is where I'm doing a lot of work. Get the tripod out, show me walking on a treadmill without a shirt, and over time, maybe we'll watch me shrink. Because people tell me I look like I've lost weight, but the only way that I can really see that I've lost weight is to see a time lapse of me going from
losing the weight,
a large ass to a little ass.
Yeah, I get the same thing. People tell me that they've seen that I've lost weight. I don't see it. I think it's shifting around.
And of course, next summer, I hope that this webpage is going to be taking off by then. I hope our podcast is going somewhere. Next summer, we'll be moving. We'll be having a studio out in my brand new shed. And all of the weight losing stuff will be in there. And it'll all roll pretty good.
And we'll be doing some jujitsu.
Yeah, Mike wants to do jujitsu because he has no respect for his back or neck. So we'll go ahead and do that. You do realize I need to lose about... I probably need to lose about 150, 160 pounds before we roll on jiu-jitsu.
Ah, we can go easy.
Man, you don't want to roll with me right now. I'll stack on you so hard.
We can go easy. We can go easy
and
learn.
We can go easy.
We can go easy and at least learn some way. But it's a workout. I mean, it's an exercise.
Because you're still a pretty big cat. And I know if I fall on you the wrong way, you're fucked. That's all I got to say about that.
Well, when you start jiu-jitsu, there's no falling. You're going to start out...
Just doing the basics.
You're going to start out doing the basics on the ground.
Need to start out doing some damn yoga stretches.
Well, that's definitely going to be part of it.
If damn knees you got, you're going to have to get them ready. Start taking fish oil pills or something like that.
Well, it's on the docket.
And part of my diet, you know, I went and I just bought a food saver. And a food saver vacuum seals food that you cook. A big part of a big challenge for me doing Weight Watchers is I'm a football coach 3 months out of the year. And football is one of those things that takes up an inordinate amount of my time. So I may get home at 7 in the evening and I don't have any supper cooked. Miss Nash don't want to cook anything. So I get out and I get the frozen meals out and I'm going to thaw them out and we're both going to have meals and all that. I get her to help me cook all those meals during one day, so all the cooking gets done. And I'm working on building up that big collection of frozen food. The food saver is, if you don't have a food saver, save your money up and get one, because it's awesome. I mean, it says food lasts 5 times longer in an air-sealed package. So I put them to the test. I went and bought some of that whack-ass salad bag of lettuce they sell at Walmart, and I put it in my food saver bag, and I'm still eating out of it, and none of it has turned into black mush. Did the same thing with some spinach. I did the same thing with green onions, white onions, bell peppers, carrots. Man, it looks like a damn garden in my ice box. But the nice thing is all those different vegetables fit in one drawer.
I wonder if that would work with fruits that don't get refrigerated.
Miss Nash cut up some apples, put them in the icebox. They still taste great, and they do not brown. They only brown as much as they would brown in those packages you buy cut up apples at Walmart. And you can keep them from further browning if you want to take like a quarter of a lemon and rub that lemon all over that apple. That lemon juice is supposed to keep it from browning. But I ate some apples, and they taste great. Stuff like bananas, I don't know. I mean, if you're going to do a banana, you're going to have to peel it, cut it up, whatever, obviously. But it would seal up strawberries, blueberries, probably do oranges. I mean, I bet you could do bananas. I bet you could do any fruit. You could probably seal anything. Even if it has juice, the food saver has a drip tray in it to catch all the juice that it sucks up. So
I was just wondering if, because we buy a lot of oranges, and oranges go bad a lot quicker than I remember them going bad.
Well, you know, it's all them organic oranges, man. Organic oranges go bad. You got to buy them highly polluted, chemically waxed, dipped super oranges or something like that.
Oh, I would just like to bring one over one day, freshly bought, vacuum seal it, set it on the counter.
Okay, if you're vacuum sealing whole oranges, that might work, but why don't you just quarter them up, seal them babies shut, put them in the icebox, see what happens. I mean, the juice ain't really going anywhere.
I'd like to see it in both scenarios.
Well, I got that the bags, so they have rolls of plastic that you use. They have pre-made bags. They have Ziploc bags, and the Ziploc bags are reusable. So they have a lot of things. It's kind of pricey, but if you want to bring some oranges over, man, I'll hook you up on that. But another thing on this health kick that I'm on right now, Mike, after listening to the Joe Rogan podcast, decided that he is going to get into this Nature Box business that Joe Rogan is sponsored by. Now, he hasn't gotten it yet, which I was hoping he'd have it by now, but that's fine. They were sold out of the one that you wanted, but what flavors did you get besides that?
Well, I started out, I got the Big Island pineapples, because I'm a big fan of pineapple. I got their, I can't remember if they did Granny Smith apples. Did the apples, the pineapples. I tried some of their fig bars, which that kind of took me out of the gluten-free area that I was trying to stay within, but it's a good source of fiber. So I went with some fig bars, some oat, almost cookie-style things, but all no trans fats, no.
Yeah, I took you out of gluten-free earlier when I fixed you a biscuit sausage.
Well, yeah, but I was just trying to shoot for that with the Nature Box. It's something I want to have that I can take to work with me.
So are you going to try this gluten-free thing? Are you really going to try it, or are you just going to try to limit it?
I want to cut down on it. I want to lower it down.
You want to see if it has any effect on you?
Yeah, well, you have issues with pains, and I have issues with pains, and gluten isn't inflammatory, and if I can cut down on things that promote inflammation.
All gluten does for me is makes me tired. The only thing that I ever stop consuming that makes a visible change in the way I feel is when I stop eating fried foods and when I stop drinking Cokes. If I could stop those two things, I would probably be climbing mountains or something. I mean, I really was doing, I was 319 pounds on that Weight Watchers diet, but man, Cokes are like drugs. Maybe one day we'll have to get into the whole idea that Cokes are addictive. Because I really think they're putting, like, pure heroin in those drinks.
Well, the thing is, you know, a lot of people may or may not know that Coke, back in the day, had a pretty measurable amount of cocaine. Well, it still has that in it. It's just in a lot lower amount. So it has that as a possibly addictive property. But then all of them have caffeine. And most people don't consider caffeine a drug. But it's definitely an addiction. I mean, you can have a caffeine withdrawal. I mean, earlier today, I was suffering caffeine headache. It's another thing that I gotta get back to kicking off of. I've got to get away from the sodas.
I don't get a caffeine headache. Caffeine's not what I'm looking for when I'm drinking Cokes. I think what I'm looking for when I'm drinking Cokes is that, and this is gonna sound weird, is that sodium that's in the Coke. Apparently, salt makes me function like a superhero. Because every time I eat something salty, I feel better. And Coke has a lot of sodium in it. But what's also in Coke is sugar. It makes it taste a little bit better. I don't know. Maybe no. I'm talking out of my ass.
No. High fructose corn syrup. The death of us all.
I don't buy into the high fructose corn syrup being bad. It's just as bad as regular sugar to me. I did a little bit of research on it. And nothing definitive because I'm not a scientist, but I read that it's not really much different from basic sugar. Hell, there's really no way to naturally sweeten something healthily. I mean,
well, it's not so much about the sweetening. It's just I think that our, and I've read things that seem to coincide with, our body doesn't deal with and process corn products as well as it does other products. And
but I will say this, you get your hands on some cane syrup flavored Cokes that are made with cane sugar. Cane syrup and made with cane sugar. And they sure do blow out those high fructose corn syrup Cokes a lot. But you can't get those hardly anymore. You can't get them anymore right now, can you? Go to Mexico.
And they have their throwbacks. The Pepsi throwbacks, Mountain Dew throwbacks. It's just, with that, it's more expensive. Corn's cheaper.
We grow so damn much of it. I mean, it's the easiest thing to grow. And we have so much of it from this ethanol crap. And now, with the ethanol stuff, it's expensive. So now more farmers are going to grow even more corn. I mean, it really is. Corn is like the hemp of vegetables. It grows easy.
Good for you.
It's easy to raise. You say it's not as good for you, but it sure does taste good.
It tastes good. Just because it tastes good doesn't mean it's good for you. I mean, I've always had a concern with corn. When I can eat some corn and it comes out still looking like corn, to me, that's a visual representation of your body not processing it properly.
You need to chew your corn up better, man.
It doesn't matter, man.
When my diet kicks off, maybe every week or every 2 weeks, I'll shoot a little video, maybe 10 seconds of video footage of me walking on a treadmill, and I'll just interlace 10-second sections, and I'll see what I got to do to speed them up to make it just a couple minutes long as opposed to 30 minutes long. And I'll put that all up on YouTube. Now, Just Chill Here is not only going to have a webpage, and it's not only going to have a podcast, which this podcast, I'm going to try to get it on iTunes, but I have to do a lot of research on getting all that set up. We also have a YouTube channel, and the YouTube channel is called Just Chill Here. If you go there now, you can see the most ridiculous video of me cooking a pork roast. I embarrassed myself, but I decided to go with it anyway. It's just part of a longer process. I have a channel, and that section is called In the Kitchen or Food or something like that. You go there, you watch it, leave a comment, whatever. But I'm going to have YouTube videos pop up every once in a while. I'm not saying that we're going to be a YouTube heavy webpage, but if it ever takes off, yeah, I'll have some YouTube videos. You may see me share some friends' work. I have a couple of filmmaker friends. Honestly, I expect to have them on this podcast as guests. And that should make the podcast a little bit more interesting, because I'm pretty sure everybody will get tired of hearing me and you talk all night. Or me, maybe not you. You have such a pretty voice.
Well, especially when we're running as long as we're running now.
Well, let's see. We're running an hour and 44 minutes. That's I wanted to go 100 minutes. We're just a few minutes. Over time, I mean, hell, we're to the news and politics, but you know, and I wanted to talk about the YouTube stuff, but we can go straight to that was all I wanted to say about the YouTube stuff, is that we're going to have a YouTube channel, we're going to have a YouTube presence, we're going to talk about other channels that are interesting. Like, I just recently finished an article on the Slingshot channel. It's a very interesting YouTube channel. If you like seeing guys build stuff and break shit and shoot things with slingshots, hey, it's a fun channel to go to. And this guy don't play. He makes some real cool stuff. But I made an article for that because I like to express the things I like, because I feel that if I tell the world something that I like, if one person finds out about it because I wrote about it, then I feel like I've made a person's life better. I mean,
and they'll share it.
That's awful egotistical, but that's just the way I feel.
And they'll share it with people who they think will like it, and it'll spread. It's a good way to spread it. You know, it's always good to spread things that not everybody may run into on their own.
Now, on this last bit of news and on this last category we're going to go to, we're going to do a news and politics discussion, and it's not going to be long. As you know, we just had a local event here about, well, I say just had. This was pretty much over a month ago, or just a month ago. At the end of May, this girl was allegedly sex trafficked in Natchitoches. And then the story came out that it was a transgender woman. It was a man turning into a woman. Was having a hard time at home. got depressed, probably faced a lot of challenges because society is not very welcoming to people that want to do whatever they want to do. So this person was trying to find another place to live, hooked up with the wrong kind of people on a website called collarme.com, which is a bondage website, which is now a defunct bondage website. And actually researching that website, the administrators of that website has people's subscription money and they won't give it back to them or something like that. It's a big thing on their message board. Like, people are pissed off because they have all their personal information and they have all their contacts and they have money and they're not getting their investment.
Now, is this something that this website has come under scrutiny because of the story?
No.
Or were they actually, down prior to
this? I looked through all their messages for collarme.com. I tried to do cross references on Google. There is not a connection. There's not a direct connection between the victim, the suspects, and the website. I couldn't find any connection. The only connection I made was off of news articles. Where they got that connection, I have no idea. Maybe the people told them. I don't know. I still research, poke at it a little once in a while just to find out more about the story. But this girl was invited to live with these people, the suspects, and
as a
bondage slave, as a bondage person, not as a slave that they essentially turned her into, but as a sex slave. And
which, for those of our listeners who aren't into that full lingo,
yeah,
that is a submissive person.
Yes, that's a person who
wants to be dominated.
Yes, wants to be dominated by another person. In this case, three people. She lived with them for 2 years, so apparently the consensuality was a long time. And if you noticed, when I was researching on Facebook, she was still posting on Facebook. She still seemed happy on Facebook. But she just all of a sudden up and stopped at a certain point in time. And I'd like to think that at that point in time, that's when she was allegedly thrown outside and locked up and locked away and kept out of public view and all that. They wouldn't let her go after she said, "Look, I want to leave," which is the number one rule in sex bondage club. When somebody says the safe word, you stop. I mean, you're done. I mean, it's over. And they didn't want to stop, so they chained her up and held her against her will. At that point, they broke the law. Not sex trafficking. Can't be sex trafficking. Even the district attorney brought up, they made her sleep in a 3x5 wooden box. If she did that willingly, they didn't force her to do that. Now, as creepy as that may be, if she did that willingly, it's not illegal. They made her drink urine. Well, they may have made her drink urine after she was held prisoner, but if she did that before, it's not illegal. It's gross, it's not common, but it's not illegal. So I think the DA is going to have a tough case simply because the three people turned themselves in, according to a couple of news sources, and they have to establish a timeline. When did she come into contact with these people? How long did she live with them? When did the consensual relationship turn into a non-consensual relationship? They have to establish that timeline, and they have to be careful about it, because if they can't, if this person, who I won't name any names because I don't remember them, and I'm just, if you want to know, just research it yourself. But the victim, they have to get all this information from the victim, and it has to line up, because they may get a mistrial. I don't think they'll get a mistrial, because it's Louisiana. You don't have to do much to get a guilty verdict when it comes to this stuff. But they could get a mistrial if they get the right kind of lawyer.
Well, and they could also get a mistrial if they take them up on the wrong charges. I mean, like you said, it's being called sex trafficking.
Yeah.
And there's no sex trafficking in what I've read.
But now, I think they added, I think they changed over to a false imprisonment, some battery. I don't know how they didn't charge rape. They didn't have a rape charge. And I'm guessing that's smart on the prosecutor's part, because, like I said, with this timeline thing, if they had a rape charge and the rape fell before the date of her being falsely or held against her will, they're going to throw that out.
Well, they'd have a hard time proving it, too, because there's a time frame in which it was consensual.
But I think they were beating her and stuff. But like I said, beating her, any kind of marks. I mean, until that timeline is established, those beatings could have been consensual. And it's really strange. And it's strange for Louisiana because, you know, the majority of people here, even though most of these people probably get on the internet and look at this stuff and watch it religiously, they act like they, oh my God, I don't know what's going on here.
Well, but honestly, you'd be surprised if you ever hop around and look at dating sites or anything like that for this area. A lot of people are into that type of thing.
A lot of freaky stuff going on in Louisiana, man. Now, I can understand the older people. Like if you're 40 and older, yeah, you probably would be like, oh, no, that's freaky. But younger people, I don't know. There's some people that I wonder. There's always some people that you're like, I bet this person's a freak. And nothing wrong with it. But when you say no, then that's it. It has to stop. But that was just a local news thing.
And you did an article on it for the website.
I did do an article on it for the website. It's actually part of an Obama article. My Obama article I wrote was in response to a story that had been spread on Facebook where they proved Obama was a foreigner because of a student ID. And then I ultimately proved that that whole thing is a fake. But it was easy because the whole damn internet proved that it was a fake. All I had to do was look at a couple of sites and look at their sources they used, and I essentially made the same paper that everybody made and wrote the same article that everybody wrote. You know, people knock Wikipedia and Snopes and Fact or Fiction and whatever other sites, but a lot of those sites, they cite their sources. And if you go visit those sources, you can double check their work and do your own work. It's pretty cool.
And not to mention, if once you take a look at the photos that you placed up on that article, if you closely scrutinize the real student ID from that university, and then you closely scrutinize the one that has Obama's picture, it quickly becomes very apparent that there's something wrong with the Obama one.
Yeah.
There's stuff that don't line up right, background images, it looks Photoshopped. And then the picture itself is in black and white. Whereas the real student ID is not a black and white. And of course, it's also in that particular one, it's the actual ID that they use to make the false one with, because the student ID numbers are the same.
Well, what was funny to me is that fake student ID they used. It belonged to a real person. They didn't even bother to change any of the card number information. It belonged to a guy named Thomas Lugert. He is a German engineer, or computer programmer, I'm sorry. And when you look at his website, it's a very rudimentary website. Have you looked at his website?
No, I have not.
Let's see. This is his website. His website is very simple. I mean, he has a My Education page, a My Occupation page, My Last Projects. I mean, there's no photos of him. Or, well, there's one. His student ID photo. But that's it. And it doesn't look like his page has been touched in a very long time. It looks like a GeoCities page. But it's a page from, I'm guessing, his college? I'm not really sure what his webpage thing is. But apparently, it was a long time ago. And looking for any information on this guy, can't find any. I wonder if the guy's alive. Conspiracy time, Mike. What if the Republicans killed him so he couldn't come back and say this student ID was fake? Who's to say it didn't happen? I mean, there's no...
Well, maybe we should distinguish. Maybe it's not the Republicans that would have killed him. Maybe it's...
Moloch! The Tea Moloch Party. Did it.
No, maybe it's the Tea Party.
The Tea Party might have done it, which there is a difference between the Republican Party and the Tea Party. It's just that the Tea Party likes to masquerade around as the Republican Party. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, who really knows where this guy is? He could be working for DC. He could be back home in Germany. But his internet presence is not there, and that's concerning because he's a computer programmer, and you'd think a computer programmer would have some sort of internet presence, right?
Correct. There's one question I had about this. Were you able to locate, I assume not since you didn't put it in the article, but were you able to locate a Columbia University ID that was for a foreign student?
Yeah, on Thomas Lugert's website, he has a picture of his student ID.
But it doesn't say foreign student on the bottom of it.
No, it doesn't. I don't think so, now that you say it.
Because the article one doesn't. The one you posted in the article doesn't.
Yeah, no, that's original stuff. It doesn't say that on the page. Let me bring that back up. Yeah, on Thomas Lugert's ID, it says student, not foreign student. So they photoshopped that foreign student business in, which that's a pretty good Photoshop because the font kind of follows it. But they could have found an ID with foreign student on it and just clipped and copied and pasted.
Well, that's the reason why I asked, is I was wondering if they even made IDs that said foreign student.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess that could be one way to, you know, that's actually a pretty good thing. I wonder if there's anything that you can actually find on that. Let's see. Nope. If you do a control find on the all-purpose IDs to offer one card convenience article posted by Columbia University, the word foreign is not found. So I bet they don't even have a foreign student card identified as foreign student. I bet you could call Columbia University and they'd probably tell you that. Maybe not. I don't know. I may do that one day and get bored. But yeah, that about does it. I mean, Mike, we've hit all the categories. I mean, we did a pretty good time. We spent a lot of time on video games. I'm pretty sure our future fans will be so happy to hear us talk about Diablo 3 and Heroes of the Storm. Next week, we're going to try to talk a little bit more about Heroes of the Storm in terms of how it plays. So get your notes ready. Hit the main points and stuff. Maybe I'll get my beta invite this week. We could share knowledge on it.
If not, we may just have to have you come over one day.
I may have to sit there and play it on your big ass TV. Movies, we're probably going to talk about Transformers 4, maybe. I doubt it. We'll probably talk more about TV shows. Maybe I can get Michael to finally sit down and watch Fargo.
I'll get Fargo in within a week. But I don't know. Maybe we can just talk about some TV shows that we've already watched.
Well, yeah, maybe we can. Or some TV shows that are coming up. It'd be good to tell some folks about some new ones that are coming up that might seem interesting. Books! That's, you know, next week if we talk about books, I'm probably going to still talk about Stephen King. If I run into anything interesting, I'll talk about it. But I don't plan for the book stuff. It's just too hard.
Yeah, and I actually have another one that I think I can bring up. Not necessarily for the adult crowd, but for more of the teenage, maybe even kids crowd. I actually read a series here recently. I think we could go into that one.
For projects, probably going to talk about projects that I would like to do after I'm done with the projects that I want to get out of the way. Maybe you can come up with an idea of a project you might want to do. Food, probably going to talk more about Weight Watchers food. Maybe talk about a few articles that I've written about food so far. Maybe we can get Mike to share some knowledge about his gluten habit.
I think I'll probably post my burger recipe too at some point.
Product reviews, we'll probably just talk about some things that we like, that we own. Music. By next weekend, I will have a very long article on System of a Down. It won't be next week, but I'll talk about that article anyway. I may just give a little preview of it. On the news and politics front, we were going to talk about one thing, but we changed our minds today. News and politics just comes and goes. It's whatever's interesting at the time. That sounds fair.
Yeah, we could pull that, our other talking point, over into next week. I think it's interesting enough to at least talk about.
On the YouTube front, if I put up any YouTube videos, I'll tell you all about it. If we find any YouTube videos you should watch, tell you about it.
Well, I may do a Heroes of the Storm video for us.
Well, there you go. That'd be pretty cool.
Try to get it. Maybe I'll try to get it done by next week.
Hey, if anything, man, you could break it out. And like we did with the roster on the webpage, do a little video showing each character and their models, you know, make a little cycle, break it up, talk about them. Whatever. And for the podcast category, well, here's your podcast. I'm John.
This is Mike.
And we hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we will see you next week. Have a nice day. I need another catchphrase. Can't say we love your faces.
Oh, no. I don't know. But we'll just chill here.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
Can't use that one either.
Can't do that one?
No.
For Doomhammer?
For the Horde.
How about this? Just chill.
Just chill.
That works. Alright, guys. I'll see y'all next week.
Loving it. No, it's embarrassing.
I'm not into it. Yes!